We're in a sermon series right now called Jesus, Behold the Man. And as we get ready for Good Friday and Easter in a couple weeks, we're taking time to behold Jesus, which means to look or gaze upon him and to contemplate who he is. And in this series, we're going through the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, truth, and life. I am the vine, and I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus has revealed himself to us in these statements, and this morning we are here to see him for who he really is. So let's pray. Jesus, you are so good to us. Thank you that you're here with us and you're leading us. Would you open our eyes to who you really are this morning? Would you point out any false ideas we have about who you are and show us the truth? You are all we want and you are all we need. Amen. So a little bit about me. I'm the Discipleship Ministry Associate here, and I grew up in Abbotsford my whole life. And I love music. I love learning instruments. You might have seen me up here on the piano once or twice. I love watching movies, and I love playing card games, and I'm very excited to be here. And I said I love watching movies, so I want us to picture this for a moment. It's Star Wars, Episode 5. So Luke Skywalker has just landed on the planet Dagobah in his little X-Wing, and he meets the little green Master Yoda. And Yoda teaches Luke the way of the Force. Yoda gives him lots of pieces of wisdom and physical challenges. If you've seen it, you can kind of picture Yoda just like on Luke's back as Luke's like climbing trees and swinging from vines. And Yoda's on his back saying like, channel the Force and like build your strength. And Yoda is teaching him the way of the Force. And Yoda also teaches Luke how to resist the dark side, which is the way of anger and aggression and fear. So he's teaching him the way of the Force. And the reason he was learning the way of the Force was that he could fulfill his identity, becoming a Jedi, and to have the end goal of defeating Darth Vader. So let's think of another one. The Devil Wears Prada. So Andy, played by Anne Hathaway, is a journalist who starts off very grounded, very healthy, good relationships, strong moral compass. And then she gets a job at a high fashion magazine under the terrifying Miranda Priestly, played by Meryl Streep. And Andy slowly starts getting sucked into Miranda Priestly's way of life. Andy starts dressing differently and working really long hours and ignoring her friends and family. And she starts to judge other people who don't dress the way she does and live the way she does. And she does all this so she can climb the ladder of success in this company and have a good career. But she loses a lot of herself along the way. And then at the end of the movie, she's at Fashion Week in Paris, and it's this really iconic scene where she is talking to Miranda and she realizes just how much she's compromised of herself, how much she's lost of who she is on this way. And then she walks away from Miranda Priestly in the middle of Fashion Week and hears her company phone ringing, throws her phone in the fountain, and walks away. It's really iconic. So both of these examples show a way of life that leads to some sort of purpose or identity or belonging. And we all follow a way of life. And whether we realize it or not, this way is shaping us. It's shaping who we are, and it's leading us somewhere. So what way of life do you follow? What truth is it teaching you? And where is it leading you? So as we look to Jesus this morning, we hear that Jesus has a way. And in fact, he claims that he is the way. He's the only way. That's a bold claim. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does this mean? So this statement was very important for early followers of Jesus. Because did you know that before Christians were called Christians, they actually referred to themselves as people of the way, with a capital W, people of the way. And they're referring to this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. This way that Jesus talks about was everything to them. It defined them. So what is this way? What does it mean for us? So before we read our passage for today, I just want to give some quick context of where we are in the Gospel of John. So Jesus is about to go to the cross, to die on the cross, and he has this final conversation with his closest friends and family. And Jesus has told them, "I'm going away somewhere, and you can't come with me yet." And his disciples are, of course, very distressed by this. They don't want him to leave. And they start saying things like, "Where are you going, and why can't we go with you? We want to, we'll lay down our lives just to go with you." And Jesus sees their distress and responds to them with deep care. This is a very tender moment in Jesus' life. And over the next four chapters in the Gospel of John, some people call them the farewell discourse, Jesus shares what's closest to his heart with his closest friends and family. And everything he says points to his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascending into heaven. What a precious moment we're stepping into this morning. So with that, let's read from John 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." This is the word of the Lord. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a statement. What does this mean? So to unpack this, we have to go back to the beginning, because Jesus actually gives us two images in this passage, and they're very deeply connected. And the first image is a house, his Father's house. And Jesus says it's a very big house with lots and lots of rooms. If you grew up listening to Audio Adrenaline, you might be thinking, it's a big, big house, lots and lots of rooms. This is where that song's from. But anyways, his Father has a really big house, and Jesus is going to prepare a place for them in this house. So let's picture this for a second. Have you ever prepared your place for someone to come and stay with you? When I think of this, I immediately think of my mother. So this, I think I have a photo. Yeah, this is my wonderful mother, Ruth. And one of her many gifts is hospitality. To know my mother is to be welcomed by her in some shape or form. And I live in Walnut Grove now, but whenever I go back to Abbotsford, I'm reminded of how lovely it is to have a place prepared for me. I went home to Abbotsford this past Christmas for a few nights, and my mom prepared my room for me. She washed my bed sheets and vacuumed, and she even put a little decoration on my nightstand, and she filled the fridge with all my favorite food. And it communicated to me that she was excited for me to be there and that she wanted me to feel at home. But not just at home in the space, but at home with her and with my sister and my dad while I was there. It was a relational gesture, and I felt so loved. And this is what Jesus says that he's leaving to do for his followers. He says, "I'm leaving to prepare a place for you in my Father's house." This is a relational image of love and belonging. At the center of this image is Jesus' desire for his followers to be close to him and close to the Father, and for them to feel at home with them. How beautiful is that? And then Jesus shifts the conversation a little bit and says something interesting. He says, "You know the way to where I am going." He's saying, "You know the way to my Father's house." And the disciples do not get it. For those who are new to church, the Father is referencing God. So when Jesus is talking about his Father's house, it's kind of implied that it's metaphorical. It's not really a physical house on earth. And he's talking about where God dwells, which we usually call heaven. But then Jesus says, "You know the way to where I'm going." He says, you people on earth know the way to this place in heaven. And the disciples do not get it. They're like, what do we do? Go full like Led Zeppelin by Stairway to Heaven? Like, what's going on? So one of the disciples, Thomas, interrupts Jesus and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Where's the Stairway to Heaven that we need to buy? And to this, Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is where we come to that second image in the passage. So remember, the first is Jesus preparing a place in the Father's house. And the second image is a way or a road or path to the Father's house. So let's camp out on this image for a bit. I was on a walk at Derby Reach last week, and there were a few things I noticed about the path while I was walking. So the first was connection. As I was walking, my feet were constantly connected to the path. And even though there was probably a few split seconds when I was mid-stride and both my feet were off the ground, I was never truly disconnected from the path because I was always returning to that solid path. And I was completely dependent on this connection. If the path like fell through or if I lost traction, I would have fallen. I was dependent on this constant connection. The second thing I noticed was that the path kept me from other ways of going through the forest. So if you can see in the photo again, it had just rained, and both sides of the canal, both sides of the path were filled with some pretty deep and gross water that I would not have wanted to walk through. And there's also some thorn bushes that probably would have hurt me. And I also might have accidentally stepped on a lovely creature's home because I couldn't see where I'm stepping. So I might have harmed other creatures too. So the path was keeping me on a good way through the forest and protecting me and other creatures from what wasn't good. The third thing I noticed was that the path was giving me direction. And my direction through the forest was solely determined by the path because I chose to stay on the path. I trusted that the path would lead me to a good place, aka back to my car, rather than me going on my own and getting lost. So it was directing me. So it was connection, protection, and direction. Do you like my fun rhyme? Connection, protection, direction. Say it to the person next to you. Connection, protection, direction. Thank you for indulging me. So when Jesus says he's the way, it's this image of Jesus being constantly connected to those who are on the way and protecting them from other ways that are harmful, and always constantly directing them back to the Father. And with this image, he also says that he is the truth and he is the life. So to walk the path of Jesus also means to walk in truth and to walk in the source of life himself. That's so beautiful, a beautiful image. But there's more. So in these three words, way, truth, and life, Jesus is also referencing some pretty important aspects of Israel's history that I think we need to understand to fully grasp what Jesus is saying here. So if you're new to church, a long time ago, God's people were called Israel, and they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and God used a man named Moses to free them from slavery and bring them into a beautiful place he had prepared for them called the Promised Land. But on the way to the Promised Land, they got lost in the wilderness for 40 years, and during that 40 years, God gave them the law called the Torah. And the Torah wasn't just a set of rules, it was a way of life that kept them close to God. So the Torah was the way, the truth, and the path to life. So if we think back to that image of Derby Reach, the path, the Torah is what they were constantly connected to, and it was what protected them from harmful ways and was directing them back to God. So now, fast forward to the end of those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and their leader Moses was dying. And so he gave a final speech to Israel, going over the whole Torah, and then urges Israel to keep obeying the Torah once they reach the Promised Land. And this whole speech is found in a book called Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. And notice the parallels between this moment with Moses and with Jesus in John 14. So Moses was about to die, had a final conversation with God's people, and gets them ready for the place that God had prepared for them. And in John 14, Jesus was about to die, and he has a final conversation with his followers, with his people, and gets them ready for the place that he himself is going to prepare for them. So Jesus is very deliberately calling back on this moment with Moses. How cool is that? So let's take a quick look at what Moses says to help us better understand Jesus. So Moses said, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways," notice that, walking in his ways, "and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering." So God's commandments were the way. They were the truth, and they meant life. And after Moses lays out the whole Torah in his speech, he gives them this warning. "See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. So therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." So the whole point of the speech was for Israel to choose life through choosing the way of the Torah, so that they would experience this closeness with God in the promised land. And Moses was so concerned about them grasping the way of the Torah because their lives depended on it. He called them to choose life. But did they? Did they choose life? For those of you who are familiar with Israel's story, you'll know that they did not. They turned from God's way by worshiping other gods and by practicing injustice and many other things. Instead of choosing life, they chose death. And the story could have ended there. But God still chose Israel. God still loved Israel, and he still wanted them to experience this beautiful place that he had prepared for them. So God sent his son Jesus to take Israel's place. And Jesus lived the perfect life of obedience that Israel couldn't, and then died on a cross and rose again, defeating sin and death. And now, everyone who trusts in Jesus gets to dwell in this beautiful place with the Father. By sending Jesus, the Father made a way for us to get to this place of closeness with him. God made a way in Jesus. And I want to clarify that this beautiful place with the Father that Jesus takes us to isn't a geographical place on earth like it was for Israel with the promised land. And it's not even necessarily just a far-off spiritual place that we only get to see after we die. This beautiful place that Jesus takes us to is a relationship with the Father. And this relationship is our home, no matter where we are. Because if Jesus is the way, and he is always with us, which he is, then the place he has prepared for us is wherever we walk with him. The way is in you because Jesus is in you. And Jesus told the disciples earlier that they already knew the way because they already knew him and trusted in him. And that's all you need to get to the Father. So my main point is this. We are called to trust Jesus as the only way, truth, and life. And as we trust him, he leads us to a beautiful place of knowing the Father. So what does this mean for us today? I want to return to that invitation Moses gave Israel and the invitation that I believe Jesus is offering us in this text, to choose life. Jesus is the only place we find truth and life, so choose life. This makes me think of Star Wars again, Yoda on Luke's back, telling him to choose the way of the Force, channel the Force. Don't go to the dark side. The dark side is not stronger than the Force. Choose life. And it sounds so simple, choose life, but I'm sure we can all think of times when we've chosen things that don't give us life. I know I have. For me, resentment is something that tempts me and pulls me. And when I feel like I might be getting treated a little unfairly or someone overlooks me, my first instinct is to just hold on to that sadness and frustration instead of communicating how I feel. And I start to quietly resent those people. And I start to think that this hard shell of resentment will protect me from feeling rejected or helpless. And building this shield of resentment feels like something easy that I can control. And it feels awful, it really does, but I keep doing it. Resentment is not what it looks like to trust Jesus as the way, truth, and life. The way of resentment traps me in bitterness, and it distorts my perspective of things. And instead of offering life, it drains me. Maybe you also struggle with walking the way of resentment. Or maybe it's the way of fear, or intense worrying, or the way of lust, or the way of gossiping, or the way of seeking approval from others. Whatever it might be for you, hear Jesus say to you this morning, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He sees you in your fear, in your lostness, your struggles, your poor decisions, my poor decisions, and he offers himself to you as a way to the Father. So what does it mean to trust Jesus as the way, truth, and life? What does it look like to choose life? So if we trust Jesus as the way, that means that we have to get off whatever path we're on and walk on Jesus's path instead. Think back to Andy in The Devil Wears Prada. She realized how far she had compromised herself and how much this way of life was killing her. She threw her company phone in the fountain and went home. She had to leave that place. Coming to a good path means getting off of other paths. So what paths are you trusting in? Are they steering you to God or away from God? So let's think back to that Derby Reach image. So the first aspect was connection. When we trust Jesus as the way, we're always connected to him. So what connections that aren't Jesus are you trusting in so much that they're holding up your very being? Maybe you're relying heavily on the approval of others, and your sense of identity rises and falls with what others say to you and how they act. Or maybe you find yourself in a season of anxiety and stress, and you just feel Jesus is calling you to just take a second and stop and feel the solid ground beneath your feet. Ground yourself in him. Jesus is the path that's strong enough to hold us up. And this is a connection we can trust. So that's connection. Second was protection. When we trust Jesus as the way, he protects us and keeps us from harmful ways. Sometimes we only realize how good Jesus' path is until we wander from it. Maybe you feel like you're walking in the gross water canals or like bushwhacking through the thorn bushes and you're lost. But Jesus is calling you back to him, back to his good path. So for me, this is where the resentment comes in. I sometimes wander from Jesus' way and start trusting in the way of resentment to protect me from feeling rejected or helpless. And instead, trusting in Jesus' way shows that his love is enough for me and I don't have to be afraid of rejection or helplessness. His power rests on me in my weakness. And this frees me to start trusting people around me and communicating how I feel. Jesus calls us back to his good path. So the third was direction. When we trust Jesus as the way, he gives us direction. Where are you looking to for your direction in your life? Maybe it's social media posts or your news feed or your favorite authors or podcast hosts. And you find yourself hanging on their every word and your thoughts and opinions directly change with theirs. Who is giving ultimate direction in your life? And do they align with Jesus? So what way are you following? Who are you trusting in for that steady connection, for protection from harm, and ultimate direction in your life? Because Jesus himself is the only path we can trust, and it's the only path that leads to the Father, our Creator, and the source of life itself. And remember that Jesus has prepared a beautiful place for you with the Father. Just take a moment to picture Jesus washing the sheets, setting things up, putting a decoration on your nightstand, filling the fridge with food. This is all for you. He's excited to be close to you. And there's no other way in the world that leads to this closeness with the Father, only Jesus. And this relationship, this closeness with the Father is eternal life, Later in John 17, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, to know the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." Knowing the Father is eternal life, and Jesus is the way to knowing the Father. And this relationship is nothing that we could ever earn through our obedience or good works. I'm going to say that again. This relationship is nothing that we could ever earn through our obedience or good works. It is just freely given to us in the person of Jesus because of his sacrifice on the cross. It's freely given. So may we ever increasingly be known as people of the way. So, people of the way, keep choosing the way. Choose truth. Choose life. Because Jesus is all three in one person, and he is among us today in his spirit. So if you would like to pray with someone, there's still going to be people at the front, at the back, in the prayer room over there. And if you have never made the decision to trust Jesus as the way, truth, and life, and you would like to, these people would absolutely love to pray with you. Please don't leave without getting prayer. Because the Father's house is very, very big with lots of rooms. There is more than enough room if you want to draw close to him this morning. And if you're a Christian, but you feel like you've lost and you don't know where Jesus is, you're in the gross water canals and the thorn bushes, Jesus is calling you back. Come for prayer if you feel like you're in that place. And if there is anything else, absolutely anything else for you or for someone you know, please don't leave without coming for prayer. You can come up either for yourself or for someone else. So Jesus, we welcome you into our hearts. Thank you for welcoming us close to you and for giving us eternal life. Would you mold us and shape us into your likeness? Would you speak truth where we're believing lies? Jesus, help us to trust in you more. You are everything, Jesus, and we belong to you.